You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Jets. It is Wednesday, November 8th, 2017, and I'm John B. from GangreneNation.com. If you enjoy the show, please consider subscribing to it. Your options include iTunes and Spotify. And please leave the show a nice review in iTunes. While you're doing it, leave your Twitter handle and you'll have a chance to get a free subscription to Pro Football Focus. All the stats and grades. Locked On Podcast Network does one drawing a week, so you'll have a chance if you leave your Twitter handle in there. Joining us again today is our friend Michael, who writes under the name Gangrene and Yonkers on GangreneNation.com with me. Michael, welcome back to the show. We brought you back after a win.
Thanks for having me.
So, Michael, you put together an interesting series of articles on GangreneNation.com where you actually solicited the opinions of Jets fans. You asked them to rank the top players on the roster. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the results of that poll, which you can find on GangreneNation.com. And we'll go through the results. We'll go through some of the things we agree with and some of the things we disagree with. So, Michael, what's the first thing that jumps off the page to you when it comes to this ranking that Jets fans put together?
Well, going from the top of the list down, the first thing that stands out to me is Jamal Adams at number two. And by all means, it's been a really promising rookie year from him. And obviously, he's really invigorated the fan base, gotten the confidence of a lot of people. He's stood out. He's brought energy and been the face of this team. But to me, I think to call him the number two best player on the team, I think that'd be a little too high for him right now, because we have seen the past few weeks he's made a few mistakes in coverage, especially against tight ends. He's given up a few touchdowns in recent weeks. So by all means, I think it's been a good season from Adams. I think he's been a huge reason the defense has taken a step up from where it was last year. But number two on the team, I think, is a little high right now.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. So I start at the top of the list. I see Marcus May number one. And I mean, hey, no arguments from me. If you listen to this podcast, if you read what I've written, I called him the most consistent Jet. I called him the team MVP through the first half of the season. So you're not going to get me to argue against Marcus May at number one. And I'm with you. I think Adams has been good for a rookie. I don't think he's been a disappointment. I don't think you'd look at his first nine games and say, boy, this is what a disaster. This guy's heading for bust status. You would not say that. I think you're satisfied with what he's done so far. But number two just seems too high. It feels like almost to me like they're voting on the player they hope Adams becomes instead of the player he is right now. And the player he is right now is not a bad player. And if you want frustrating rookie year for a safety, you don't have to go that far back with the Jets. You can just think back to Calvin Pryor 3 years ago, who was a first round pick, and it felt like Pryor was responsible for like a long touchdown a week, whether he was taking a bad angle, getting beat in coverage. And you're not seeing that with Adams. But as you mentioned, I'm with you on that. I think there have been some coverage issues. I think in particular it's been man coverage. There have been some issues. And look, again, he's a rookie. It's his first season. Guys, most players, you know, aren't as great as rookie. Even if you turn out to be a great player, you're usually not great as a rookie. He's been good as a rookie. I think I'm satisfied with what I've seen, but I don't think he's the number two player on this team.
Right. I'd have to agree with you there.
Now we can go down the list, and I see Robbie Anderson was number three. And, you know, Anderson's a guy who's really starting to grow on me. And of course he had the big game against Atlanta, and through the early part of the season, I've kind of viewed him as a bit of a limited guy, and I'm still kind of there right now, but man, he's developed into a really good deep route runner, and there are just some nuanced things that are sticking out to me. And I'll tell you, Josh McCown's missed him a couple times, but when I say missed, I'm not necessarily talking about missing on throws. I'm just saying McCown's not seeing him going deep. And I tell you, Anderson could have had another big game, I think, against Buffalo. I think McCown left at least one big throw on the field that could have gone for a touchdown just because he didn't see him. So, you know, I think Anderson's still got to develop his route running a little bit, particularly on short stuff, but he's turned into a really good deep threat, a good deep route runner.
Yeah, one of the good things about Anderson is you're seeing him develop into more than just a speed guy. He's developing moves to actually beat people deep and get himself free instead of just running by people. And you're right. And even last year with Fitzpatrick and Petty, he gets missed quite a lot. And give McCown some credit. He's hit Anderson down the sideline at I think, a solid rate that you have to take, but there are still a lot of times Anderson is being missed. But, yeah, I definitely think he's, especially over the last few weeks, established himself as probably the best playmaker the Jets have on offense.
Coming in at number four, DeMario Davis, who, I mean, let's be honest, if you thought DeMario Davis was going to have this type of year, I think you're the biggest homer in the world, because, I mean, he's having the best year of his career. We saw DeMario Davis. I mean, he was at the point of his career where it was kind of tough to view him improving, and I'm not even sure necessarily that his level of play is going to be sustainable just because he has that track record of being kind of mediocre. But yeah, he's having an excellent season. And I'll tell you, if you saw this coming, man, you are the biggest. I mean, you're probably predicting outrageous success for the Jets every year, because, man, I don't think anybody could have predicted this from Davis.
Yeah, Davis being this high is, even within this season, a surprise. The way he played the first 2 weeks was a big reason why the Jets started off so slow and were having so many problems against the run. So he's really turned around not only his career, but this season really quickly, and it's been a big reason why the defense has been able to turn around so quick.
Now, coming in at number five, and this might be the one that just makes me scratch my head the most. Josh McCown. Are you people kidding me? Josh McCown, number five, the fifth best. And you guys, and I say this with love, if you guys voted on this, you know I love you. You people did not put Leonard Williams in the top 10, and you people put Josh McCown at number five. I mean, come on, guys. Like, what are you doing? Like, I mean, I understand that McCown had no expectations, but he's not playing that great, and he's maybe exceeding expectations a little bit. But, man, I mean, he's, first of all, he's been awful in fourth quarter of games. He's limited field vision. I mean, lots of mistakes. And some of which he's getting lucky on, a big an interception in the first half that was dropped against Buffalo. You guys think Josh McCown's the fifth best player on this team? Are you guys crazy? I mean, come on, guys.
I mean, I think Josh McCown has definitely won a lot of fans. The past few weeks he's played better, but fifth best, I mean, his stats are great. We talked about this all year, but the backbreaking mistakes he's made, the limitations he puts on the offense. With an average quarterback, the Jets could have a few more wins. You look at his pick against Miami and the big turnovers he made in some of the earlier games. I think McCown has definitely exceeded expectations, but still way too many mistakes, too many sacks to be a top five player on the team.
I mean, let me put it this way, and this is how I'll say it. I think that you could probably count the number of quarterbacks on one hand who would not have at least four wins with this team this year. Yeah, okay, maybe Deshaun Kizer wouldn't. I mean, maybe guys at the very bottom of the league wouldn't, but this team, when it wins, it is not quarterback dependent.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. This is not, even for the longest time, the Jets have not been a team that has been built to win off of the quarterback. This is a defense-first team, a team that's trying to win around the quarterback, and you look at what Josh, or new offensive coordinator John Morton, has done, is throwing a lot of screen passes, a lot of short stuff, and at times been a run-first team to try and take some of the burden off of Josh McCown. So you're right, Josh McCown has, like we said, a little bit better than we thought, but the Jets are definitely, you got to give guys like Anderson and even Kerr, some Sparian Jenkins, some credit for actually carrying him at times. So, yeah, you're right. This is not a team that Josh McCown has had to really carry so far.
Well, Michael, as usual, I've probably gone too far, and I'm probably going to get some emails over this for being too negative on McCown. So let's move forward. Number six, Bilal Powell. I don't think you're going to have a lot of people quibbling that he's in the top 10. A guy who, really great story, homegrown guy, has really steadily improved during his career. It's tough not to like Bilal.
Yeah, you're right. I think he deserves that spot. He's been the most consistent running back on the team for a while now. When he goes in there, you see his vision. It's just a different level as where you see Matt Forte is. I mean, there's still some good things Matt Forte can do, but just the big playability that Powell brings is definitely a difference maker, and I don't think the run game would be where it is without Powell.
Number seven, Maurice Claiborne. Really solid signing, one-year deal, I think around $5 million. Jets are getting their money's worth from him. Question with him, I think, and I've talked about this earlier this week, is he's hurt, and one of the big issues with him through his career has been durability. And this is a guy I look at, and I'm still not sure, and I think it's going to depend on how the second half of the season plays out. I'm not sure what you offer him at the end of the year, because this is a guy who scares me a little bit long term. Now, good play this year, no question. I don't think you'd have many people dispute that. But this is the type of guy, when you look at profiles of guys who get signed to big contracts that teams regret, I feel like this is one of those guys who may kind of fit that mold.
Right. I think based on this season's play, Claiborne is one of the guys who I think is being underrated. I think he's been really, really good this year. But you're right. The Jets signed to a one-year deal to kind of hold the fort down this year. He does have those injury issues, which for the most part he has kind of cleaned up, but we're seeing them come back right now. So I think it's something the Jets are going to have to be wary of. Maybe another one-year deal, but like we saw with Revis, cornerback is the kind of position where you don't want to commit too much money to guys late in their careers, especially when they're as injury-prone as Claiborne has been. So the Jets have got a lot of what they've got from him this year, but long-term, you got to be careful.
At number eight, Austin Seferian-Jenkins, and I'm a little conflicted on this one because I like what he brings to the team, but I also wonder whether there's a little element of the Jets have gotten so little from the tight end position that anything is going to look great. I like what he brings to the table. Great story about how he's kind of turned his life around, shown some ability to kind of find the soft spot in the defense on short routes, shown some ability after the catch. I'd like to see him more downfield. He's a willing blocker. I'd like to get a little better there. I think there are parts of his game that need improvement, particularly if, you know, if the Jets are going to commit, make a major financial investment in him. Now, if he's willing to come back for cheap, that's a different story. I'd be happy to have him back. So I don't know. What do you think? I'm a little conflicted on him. I like what I see, but I also feel like there might be an element of he's getting maybe a little too much love just because he's being compared to Kellen Davis and guys like that.
Well, you're right. To a Jets fan, Seferian Jenkins is kind of like Tony Gonzalez or Rob Gronkowski out there with what the Jets have had recently. But I do think Seferian Jenkins has done what he's been asked to do pretty well, run the short routes, the in routes across the field, in the red zone. But like we talked about before, I think they're kind of limiting him. I think he could be a weapon down the field, and that's not something we've seen them try all that much. So production-wise, maybe eighth on the list is a little too high, but I think he is probably absolutely the best tight end they've had in a long time. I think he's done his job pretty well. I think his blocking is much improved off of where he was last year. He was not a good blocker at all, but we're definitely seeing improvement from him there. So I think he's had a really encouraging year, a solid year, but perhaps a little overrated just because what the Jets have been getting from tight ends in recent seasons.
Yeah, I still don't think he's a great – I agree with you. I don't think he's a great blocker, but he's improved. And the other thing that sticks out to me is he's willing. He's not afraid to mix it up. Even when he misses a block, it's not because he's kind of shying away from contact. Like, he's willing – and that, to me, that's a positive sign, because I always view the tight end position, that's a guy you can work with. Even if I'm not a great blocker today, if I'm willing to mix it up, if I'm not afraid of contact, I feel like I can improve you as a coach.
Yeah, and that's something – like you talked about with his off-season changes, a lot of times that's just talk, but he definitely looks like a changed player out there, much more motivated and wanting to get his job done out there, even if blocking isn't his strength. Like you said, he's much more willing to do it, so that's something that they can work with.
Number nine, Lachlan Edwards, the second-year punter, and boy, are we really having one of those seasons? It feels like we're having a better season. A punter would be one of the 10 best players on the team, but I will say this, he has improved. I don't think punter is the weak. I'll tell you, I've been watching the Jets. Jeez, we've gone on 25 years, and I mean, I really can't count many years when I felt good about the punter. I mean, there was the one year with Steve Weatherford. There was the, I think, a year of change when they had another Australian guy, Ben Graham, and Edwards is doing a solid job. I like what Edwards is bringing to the table. Now, I mean, I feel like we're having a better season than one where the punter would finish top 10, but I can't say he's doing a bad job.
Yeah, I mean, for his position, I think there's no argument that Edwards has kind of been a top 10 guy when you look at his numbers. Last year, he was pretty bad. I mean, McKagan picked him in the 7th round. You expected him to come in and fix the issues they've had, but he was really inconsistent last year, had some pretty bad shanks, but he's been way more consistent this year. He's brought the hang time, pin teams deep consistently, and getting picked in the seventh round, I don't think it's wrong to say he's been McKagan's best value draft pick so far. So, yeah, definitely a ninth best impact on the team. Like you said, I don't think the Jets are that bad to where a punter can be a top 10 player, so I would disagree with that, but in terms of where he ranks in his position, definitely maybe the best Jet on the team outside Marcus May this year. And so looking at the rest of the list, anyone else who stands out to you as probably too overrated, too underrated?
Yeah, I'll give you, I think you may disagree with me on this one, and I think a lot of people, I think Jermaine Kearse at 10 is too high. And, you know, I talked about Robbie Anderson earlier. The more I watch Robbie, the more I like. It's the opposite with Kearse, and I think Kearse is kind of being overrated. I think there's a little element that somebody has to catch the passes. So naturally, you know, Kearse is playing, so he's going to catch passes. He's getting so much playing time. I just don't see him as a big impact guy. I'm fine with bringing him aboard as part of the Sheldon Richardson trade. The Jets needed somebody to play receiver. Jets needed to absorb some salary to make that deal work for Seattle. I'm not complaining that they got him, but I think 10 is too high for him.
No, I agree with you. I think 10 is too high. You saw early in the season, he is McCown's favorite target. And when they are behind, they're trailing, lots of quick passes, but he's kind of disappeared as the season has gone on. I think we saw that when he was in Seattle too. He can make the acrobatic catch. He can get the ball at the point of attack, but he's not getting open as much as you would want from one of your top two receivers. And we have kind of seen him disappear a little bit down the stretch of the season and Robbie Anderson kind of take over the role of McCown's favorite target. So I do think Kearse has been a little overrated to this point. So anyone you think is too underrated?
Yes, I'm going to go 11. Coney Ealy should be in the top 10. 12. Leonard Williams. That's folks. We're going to have a word, folks. We got you guys who did that voting. We're going to have a word on this because look, Ealy belongs top 10. Great under the radar pickup. There is no way he should be above Leonard Williams. This is all about expect. I think you people who voted this way, and I love you. Don't get mad at me. This is all about expectations. You weren't expecting anything from Coney Ealy. He exceeded them. You were expecting Leonard Williams to take the next step this year. He's been a little disappointing, but Ealy's a part-time player. Williams is a full-time player. He's playing really well. He may not be meeting your expectations, but he's playing a ton of snaps. He's doing his job for the most part. 12, way too low for Leonard Williams. And I said it a little earlier. I mean, McCown, 5, Williams, 12. Folks, we can't – folks, it's. I understand expectations come into play, but I mean, there's no way you can tell me Josh McCown's been better than Leonard Williams this year. There's no way you can tell me Jermaine Kearse, Coney Ealy, the punter guys. The punter's been better than Leonard. Like, I like the punter. I'm not. Don't email me with why are you bashing the punter? But the punter is not better than Leonard Williams, guys.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. That's probably my biggest, the most underrated player on this list. I mean, like you said, with expectation, I think a lot of people expected him to start piling up big numbers, and he hasn't done that, and that is a little bit of a problem from a guy who's supposed to be one of the faces, if not the face of the team, but he has definitely played much better football than people are giving him credit for, than the numbers are giving him credit for. He's, with the way Wilkerson has struggled, he's taken a lot of double teams, a lot of attention, and that does have a good impact on the defense, and he's still playing really good against the run, still creating a lot of pressure that's not ending up in sacks, and with everyone else around him playing better the past few weeks, you have seen him kind of put up the numbers that you want to see from who's supposed to be your best defensive player. So number 12, definitely way too underrated for Leo.
All right, well, Michael, thank you for joining us today on what, you know, it may be the last episode of this podcast because I've probably gotten so many people angry with me that they're not going to tune in anymore because I've been so critical of their choices. Thanks. Thank you for joining us, Michael.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you for listening. If you will return after I've been so critical of your choices, this has been the Locked On Jets podcast. I'm John B from GangreneNation.com. If you are not offended by my criticism of you, subscribe to this show. iTunes and Spotify are your options, and leave the show a good review if you'd be so kind. Hope you enjoy your Wednesday. We'll be back again on Thursday.